Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless you tonight. And we thank you that you are most beautiful, most glorious than anyone else. We are happy to call you our beloved. We know that you're the one who loves us more than anybody else, more than our parents ever loved us, more than the love that we have from our partners and from our spouses. Your love is the greatest love of all. It is so high we can't get over it, so low we can't get under it, so wide we can't get around it. We cannot comprehend the length and the breadth and the height and the depth of the love that you have for us. And we are grateful that we can have such a relationship with you, which is a relationship between two lovers. There are many times when we realize that we seem to be holding back from you, and our love is not as intense as it ought to be. There's no question about your love for us, but there are issues with the depth and the magnitude of our love for you. We are thankful to you for your Spirit, that He helps our infirmities. Where we are lacking in our love for you, may your Holy Spirit help us to get deeper and deeper and fall in love more and more with you. Tonight we are here in your presence, in your house, because we love to be here. It's not because anybody has forced us to be here. We are glad whenever it is said to us, let us go into the house of the Lord. And at this time, your word is about to come forth. We pray in the name of Jesus for understanding and for clarity as we hear your word. In Jesus' mighty name. And let everybody say amen. Say amen again. All right, put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated. Turn your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 17. You can come down a bit for me, but keep playing. Acts 17, and we're reading from verse 11 to verse 12. Acts 17, verse 11 to 12. The Bible says, and the people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica, and they listened eagerly to Paul's message. They searched the scriptures day after day to see if Paul and Silas were teaching the truth. As a result, many Jews believed, as did many of the prominent Greek women and men. Another scripture opening, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. And I will prefer to read from the Amplified Bible. It says, study and be eager and do your utmost to present yourself to God approved That means tested by trial. A workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing. That means rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Now, last week, we started to look at a very important subject, knowing the word of God for ourselves. And I want to continue on that same line. I want to pick up from where we left off. You'll remember that I quoted a statement from a book, Children of the Day, written by a lady called Beth Moore. She made a very profound statement in that book. And what she said was this: we are blessed to have limitless opportunities to study under many pastors and teachers. It's a blessing to be able to assess the preachings and the teachings of many pastors and teachers of the gospel. I mean, the age that we currently find ourselves in, there are a lot of resources available. You have a lot of access via television, radio, and the internet. It wasn't so some years ago, but now you can access a lot of preaching, a lot of teaching from all kinds of ministers all across the world, from different places. So she's describing this as limitless opportunities. She doesn't end there, however. She continues and says, but if we do not go diligently to the scriptures for ourselves, the question is not whether we'll be deceived, but how often we will be deceived. I'll take that again. If we, you and I, Christians of today, believers, do not go diligently to the scriptures for ourselves. That means if we don't read the Bible for ourselves, if we don't study the word of God for ourselves, something is going to happen. And what's going to happen will not be a question of whether we will be deceived or not. As for being deceived, if we don't read the Bible for ourselves, we will definitely be deceived. So there's no question about that. But perhaps the question will be, how often will we be deceived? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Now, in talking about knowing the word of God for ourselves, there's a certain mistake that we shouldn't make. And there's a certain error that we should also not step into, which is where now we conclude that pastors are not necessary, that we can do without them. Now, that is another extreme, and we have to be careful to stay away from that, because we need them and they have a role that they play. It is actually God who gave them to us. And if you remember, somewhere in June, I shared a message with you about the responsibilities of ministers of the gospel. Let me show you the scripture in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13, just to buttress this point. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13. It says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Another scripture, Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. It says, "And I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will guide you with knowledge and understanding." Just from these two scriptures, you can see that pastors and teachers and apostles and prophets and evangelists and men and women of God are actually gifts from God to the church and to the body of Christ. And God has given them to us to play a certain role and to play a certain function. Hallelujah. The function, when I say hallelujah, I expect to hear hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Their responsibility and the work that they are supposed to do is to equip us. Us means the church, the people under them. God is expecting that pastors and ministers of the gospel will equip those under them with everything that they need so that they can do the work of the ministry. So that is supposed to clear that impression that it is just the ministers of the gospel who are supposed to do the work of winning souls, discipling people, establishing them and all of that. That's not it. Ministers of the gospel have been given to the church by God so that they will equip, and they do that by feeding their members with the knowledge and understanding that they need in order to do the work of the ministry and to build up the body of Christ. It is also the duty of ministers of the gospel to work on the people under them so that they become mature, so that they increase in their knowledge of Christ Jesus, so that they will measure up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Can I have an amen? And then also in the other scripture we looked at, it says that God said, "I'll give you shepherds after my own heart." Other versions say pastors according to my own heart. And what is their purpose? They are supposed to guide us with knowledge and understanding. They are supposed to feed us with knowledge and understanding. So it is clear from these two scriptures that pastors are important, that ministers of the gospel are very, very important. So we can't throw them away. We cannot discard them. And as I'm sharing with you about knowing the word of God for ourselves, I am by no means saying to you that you don't need any pastor, you don't need any prophet, you don't need any apostle, you don't need any evangelist, you don't need any teacher. Because if we begin to think that way, it'll be like throwing away the baby with the bath water. I mean, who does that? You've bathed the baby, the water is dirty, and when you were going to dispose of the water, you added the baby to the water and poured all of them away. Nobody does anything like that. So knowing God for yourself is not to say or make you think that you don't need your pastor. You need me. And I also need you. We need one another. So we need the pastors. God specially gave them to us, the ministers of the gospel. But you see, and that is what the lady I quoted, Beth Moore, is alluding to really. Because she's describing, you know, the opportunities, or she makes reference to the opportunities that we have to hear from these pastors and teachers of the word of God. Because that's what it is. It's a great opportunity to learn from them, to add to our knowledge. But you see, there is a problem. The problem is when the ministers of the gospel, pastors, teachers, prophets, etc., when they begin to drift away from their core mandate, and then now they begin to operate in such a way as to make the people under them overly depend and rely on them. That's where the problem begins. Instead of just focusing on imparting the knowledge and the understanding that the people under them need in order to grow and mature in the Lord, it gets to a point, and I don't know what happens, And how come that line is crossed? But then these ministers of the gospel get to a point where, whether deliberately or unintentionally, they make the people under them overly dependent on them, overly reliant on them. And once that happens, what God gave them for, that assignment that God has given to these ministers of the gospel, is not carried out, because they are supposed to teach the people so that they will grow, so that they will mature. But what is happening in a lot of churches today is that believers are not growing. They are not maturing. They are not developing. I mean, if you have a child and the child is not growing up, the child is not developing, the child is not getting to a place where he can do things for himself, it is a problem. The only place where it doesn't seem to be a problem in many places is the church. Because ministers of the gospel feel very powerful. They enjoy the power, enjoy the prestige, they enjoy the authority that they wield, they enjoy the influence that they have on the people. So they watch as the people continue to rely and depend on them instead of growing and maturing in the Lord. Hallelujah. And how is this over dependence on the pastors and the ministers of the gospel, how is it perpetuated? It's by through certain funny teachings and doctrines and practices. Things that are said, things that are done, create the impression that it's like, without me, you can't know God. Without what I teach you and tell you, you cannot have a personal, intimate relationship of God on your own. And it's a subtle thing. It's very, very subtle. But it is there. It is there. So through these wrong teachings, wrong practices, wrong doctrines, the people in the church get to a point where they feel that, you know, without our pastors, we can't do anything. So that's why you hear a lot of Christians and church members talking, my papa said, my pastor said, my prophet said. And now there's when people are even witnessing. It's not about Jesus. It's about my church. It's about, come and listen to my man of God. He's very anointed. The hand of the Lord is upon him. The oil of God is upon him. If you come to my church, all your problems will be solved. Are you serious? The one who solves problems is Christ Jesus. He is still the answer. So anything else that we project to take his place, it is idolatry. And a lot of that is happening in the church today. God have mercy on that. So through this funny teachings and doctrines and all of that, invariably the people are led into deception. We become deceived about these servants of God and what they are supposed to do in our lives and the role that they play in our lives. And you see, this deception is very dangerous. It doesn't feel that way. As we keep playing around with it, it doesn't feel that it is a dangerous thing. But it's very, very dangerous. And along the line, I'll show you dangers of not knowing God for ourselves. But you see, when I was looking at this, when I was thinking about this, I remembered a story. It's a story I read a long time ago. Long time ago, when I was very, very young. And perhaps you've heard me narrate this story before. There was a hunter who went out to hunt. He was a very skillful hunter. One day he went into the thick forest to hunt, and he came across a tigress, a female tiger, shot it and killed it. Then he got close to remove the skin He wanted to skin it because the fare of these big cats are very, very expensive. But as he was doing that, he felt a tingle at the back of his neck. It was like somebody is watching me. There are eyes on me. So he became very alert and turned slowly, ready to fire if there was anything about to pounce on him. But then when he checked, he saw that it was a little cub, a baby tiger, that was hiding in the bush. It was little, looked very innocent, with soft eyes. Okay? And he felt compassion for it. So what did he do? He took it home. He carried the baby tiger home. And when he got home, his children were very happy. Said, "Daddy Dejambo, Daddy Dejambo, Daddy Dejambo." To it, our father has brought us a cat. And he decided to give it to his children as a pet. So they started taking care of it. They were feeding it with the normal things they eat in the house. And they were the best of pals. The children played with it. It played with the children. And they were really fond of each other. But as they kept feeding it and taking care of it, it kept growing and growing and growing and growing. And it grew and became very huge. But they were still friends. There was no problem. It outgrew the children. And at a point, it was so big that they could actually ride on its back. But one day, one fateful day, one of the children fell and cut himself. And as the blood was oozing out, this tiger cat moved to the child out of sympathy and went to lick the sore, the wound that the blood was coming out of. Prior to this time, it had never tasted fresh blood. I have to be careful as I said in it. Sankameka said flesh blood. Yeah. It had never tasted fresh blood before. But when it tasted it for the very first time, suddenly conflicting signals began to move through its head. It's like, this thing, it is something that I'm supposed to be having. Because you see, they have been programmed. God created all these animals and placed a certain kind of instinct in them. They yearn for blood. They yearn for fresh meat. So when it tasted the thing, started getting confused. And now suddenly, it changed. That innocent look on its face, it changed. And now it became that wild, frightening look that these big, you know, animals of the cat family, lions, jaguars, cheetahs, that look that they have. I mean, you can freeze just by looking into their face, I tell you. That's how this tiger's face changed. And out of its confusion, it knocked down the child and rushed into the hut where the hunter who saved it was lying down. He was resting, taking a siesta. It pounced on the hunter and killed him. He killed its savior and its redeemer. Whether it's a true story or not, I doesn't know. But there is a story behind the story. There's what we call the moral of the story, which is this. This hunter did not realize, it didn't occur to him, that little tigers will become big tigers. and big tigers, they kill. It's like Abuaku Kuntiba. Obenyinayekese. And Obedanedein. It will turn into a frog. He forgot. And he lost his life because he committed a fatal error. Now that's what is happening to the church today. We don't realize that we are in grave danger because of this thing that is happening. The teachings, the doctrines, the practices that make the members of the church overly dependent on the leaders of the church. So that instead of people growing and maturing in the Lord, we are not. We are not. And we don't realize that we are playing right into the hands of the devil. He's messing us up, causing us a lot of trouble. We don't realize. We don't even realize that we are even in danger of losing our salvation. That's what is happening. So what is the way out of this thing? How can we protect ourselves? How can we make sure that we don't fall for these things? The main way of protecting ourselves is what I'm sharing with you. We must know God for ourselves. And we must know the word of God for ourselves. That's the only way around it. And when we stand before God, we are not going to stand before him in churches. Sometimes we tickle ourselves and say that when we go to heaven, there'll be a corner for Shepherd's Fold Restoration family members, a corner for Methodist members, a corner for... My friend, God doesn't want confusion. There will be nothing like that. Every individual will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And you will have to account for yourself how you lived your life. You have to give that account for yourself. You can't go and hire a lawyer to come and say something for you. The lawyer is even thinking about himself. That's not the time to... Everybody will have to give an account. So I'm sharing with you a message that is not a normal kind of message that you hear in a lot of churches. Where I am insisting that you must know the word of God for yourself. You must do what? Yeah. I saw this scripture in Galatians chapter 1. Look at Galatians chapter 1 verse 6 to 9. Let's look at that scripture. Now, the Apostle Paul was writing to the believers in Galatia. Now, the believers there, they were very unstable, very fickle. I mean, they were not constant. It's like any small thing, no, then their minds are changing. So Paul realized that something bad was happening, so he quickly wrote to address that situation. Now look at the way he starts it. He says, I am shocked. I am shocked that you are turning away so soon from God, who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. May I point out to you that some of these funny teachings and doctrines and practices in the word of God, they have the potential of turning us away from God. They can turn us away from God and now turn us onto men, where we begin to depend on men and all of that. He continues and says, you are following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but it's not the good news at all. You are following some teachings. You are following some doctrines. You are following some practices. It feels like that is the gospel of Jesus Christ, but that's not what it is. Then he says to them, you are being fooled. by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. And they are ministers of the gospel. They do it, and they are doing it deliberately. They are doing it how? Deliberately. Twisting the thing. They know why they are doing it. They are twisting it deliberately. And to appreciate how serious the whole thing is, and how seriously Paul looked at this whole thing, he said, let God's curse fall on anyone, including us, or even an angel from heaven, who preaches a different kind of good news than the one we are preaching to you. Then for emphasis, he repeats, I say again what we have said before. If anyone preaches any other good news than the one you welcomed, let that person be cursed. Because there's a certain gospel that saved us, that won us to Christ. That is the gospel. That's the good news. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So everything that has to do with that kind of teaching, that is the gospel, that is the good news. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That is the good news. That before Christ Jesus, there is neither Jew nor Greek, male or female, bond or free. That is the gospel. And Paul is saying that there are some people, because what had happened is that some people had come, some Jews who had been converted to Christianity, but they were still hanging on to their Judaism and their legalistic way of doing things, had found their way to Galatia and were trying to convince the people, you must be circumcised, you must be this, you must be that. It's a different thing when you are circumcising a 3 week or 4 week old child. Can you imagine that Pastor Philip at his age? You will call him and tell him that he should come for you to circumcise. And they were causing a lot of problems in the church, insisting that if the people are not circumcised, they cannot be saved. They cannot enjoy this salvation, which is contrary to what the gospel teaches. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So Paul could see that they were causing a lot of harm in the church in Galatia. That is why at the point he said what he said. That all those who are causing those problems, may the curse of the Lord fall upon them. It is because of scriptures like this that pastors begin to curse by heart. But a lot of the curses that pastors curse is for the wrong reasons. When they feel that their power is being taken away or eroded, or their influence is going away, then they begin to talk in a certain way and say all sorts of things. But you can understand why Paul could actually release a curse like that, because he could see the harm that was being caused to these believers. So I am just saying to you that the only way of preventing this situation of people following wrong teachings, wrong doctrines, allowing themselves to be manipulated and exploited and all of that, the only way to get out of this is that they have to know the word of God for themselves. Now, what does it really mean to know the word of God for ourselves? What does it really mean? We've been saying this since we started this series last week, Wednesday. But what does it really mean to know the word of God for ourselves? Number one, when we say that we know the word of God for ourselves, what it means is that we know the scriptures not just based on what any man or woman of God has said or taught, but is based on what we have discovered ourselves through a proper, accurate study and understanding of God's word. I will say it again. The question is, what does it really mean to know the word of God for ourselves? It means that what we know of the word of God, the scriptures, write that. It means that what we know of the word of God, which is the scriptures, is not just based on what any man or woman of God has said or taught. It's just based on what any man or woman of God has said or taught. I take it again. What does it really mean to know the word of God for ourselves? It means that what we know of the word of God, the scriptures, is not just based on what any man or woman of God has said or taught. Do you have that? But is based on what we have discovered ourselves. But is based on what we have discovered ourselves through a proper, accurate study and understanding of God's word. Through a proper, accurate study and understanding of God's word. I'll take it again. What does it really mean to know the word of God for ourselves? It means that what we know of the word of God, the scriptures, is not just based on what any man or woman of God has said or taught, but is based on what we have discovered ourselves through a proper, accurate study and understanding of God's word. Does that make sense? Is it easy to understand? It's a lot of words, but every word is important there. So in summary, what we're saying is that if we say that we know the word of God for ourselves, what it means is that what we know about the word of God, about the scriptures, it's not just based on what somebody told us in church. It's not just based on a preaching we heard somewhere. It's not just based on somebody made it somewhere. Of the word of God and of the scriptures, it is coming out of a proper, accurate study and understanding of God's word. Which means that you can only know the word of God for yourself if you engage in a proper, accurate study and understanding of God's word. There is no shortcut to it. There's no shortcut. That's what it means to know the word of God for ourselves. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15 again. We read that earlier on from the Amplified Bible. It says, study and be eager and do your utmost to present yourself to God approved. Approved means tested by trial. Excuse me. A workman who has no cause to be ashamed. All of us are workmen and workwomen for the Lord. We've been saved to save. He saved us so we can work for him. He says, a workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing. Look at the words there. Correctly analyzing and accurately dividing. That means rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. That's how you can really, really know God's word for yourself. It's not just based on what somebody said. It's not just based on you came to church here, times of restoration, times of impartation, and I said some powerful things, and you just took it and started running with it. No. If you know the word of God for yourself, it means that you've heard the word of God, but it doesn't end there. You go back. You reflect on the word. You go through the scriptures again. Most Christians don't do that. That you come to church, after church when you go home, you pick your notes and run through it. That's what we were taught when we were growing up. Most people don't do that. So you know the scriptures for yourself. When you yourself, you have properly studied the word of God, you've understood it, and you've been able to analyze and accurately divide the word of God. That's what it means to really know the word of God for yourself. Number two, what does it really mean to know the word of God for ourselves? Number two, it means that we do not just accept anything being preached or taught by anybody. It means that we do not just accept anything being preached or taught by anybody. And I don't care who that anybody is. We don't accept it. We don't just accept it because this man of God said it, because that woman of God said it. You don't just accept anything being preached or taught by anybody, but we subject it to the strict proof. But we subject it to the strict proof of a correct interpretation of the scriptures, which we know for ourselves. But we subject it to the strict proof of a correct interpretation of the scriptures, which we know for ourselves. I'll take it again. What does it really mean to know the word of God for ourselves? It means, when you say that you really know the word of God for yourself, it means that we do not just accept anything being preached or taught by anybody. You don't just accept it. But we subject it to the strict proof of a correct interpretation of the scriptures. Because whatever anybody says, whatever anybody comes to minister here, you don't just take it. You don't just take what I say. You have to prove it. And the proof is that what is being said must be based on the proper, correct interpretation of the word of God. Somebody said that there's really no new revelation. It is all about interpreting what has already been revealed, because the word of God it reveals a lot of things about God. If there's something we don't know, it is because we've not understood it. It's because we've not interpreted it well. That's why sometimes people come up and start saying things and it looks like some new revelation has come. No new revelation has come from anywhere. What there is to be revealed has already been revealed in the word of God. It's now left with us to give a correct interpretation of what has been revealed. So what it really means to know the word of God for ourselves, it means that we do not just accept anything being preached or taught by anybody, but we subject it to the strict proof of a correct interpretation of the scriptures. The scriptures must be interpreted correctly. And this is where a lot of the problems we find occur. The interpretations that we give to the scriptures. And that's the frightening thing about the word of God, my friends. You can use the word of God to do anything that you want to do. You can twist and interpret the scriptures in any way to suit your purposes. And oh, how we have learned how to do that as pastors. How to do that very, very, very well. So you are trying to say you're something. Then you go and find a scripture. You just pick it. And often the scripture is picked out of context. Then you use it to support what you want to say. You want the people to continue giving to you. So you go and find scriptures from all kinds of places and you twist and manipulate the scriptures to say what you want to say. There's something called the correct interpretation of the word of God. And you and I must learn how to do this for ourselves. That is what it means when we say that you know the word of God for yourself. You should be able to interpret the scriptures. So when you come to church and anybody is saying, just talking by heart and saying all sorts of things, you should be able to recognize that. No. This thing, it doesn't meet the strict proof of the correct interpretation of the scriptures. So because of that, I reject it. Because of that, I do what? I reject it. And you must learn to reject teachings and doctrines and practices that are not based on the correct interpretation of the Holy Scriptures. Learn to reject them. And like I said, don't care. We shouldn't care who it is, whose word we are rejecting. I don't care. And you shouldn't care either. Thank God for the people that God has used to do certain things in our lives. But when it gets to a point and they are saying things and they are teaching things and it is clear because you know the word of God for yourself, that what this person is saying, and jasum, it doesn't fall into the ear. And I'll tell you this. You see, when you've developed a good relationship with the Holy Spirit, He will always prompt you when certain things are being said or taught that are not in line with correct doctrine. He prompts you. You feel a check in the inside of you. So one of the reasons why we need the Holy Spirit, He guides us and He directs us. And God knew that we need that guidance and direction. It's one of the reasons why He gave the Holy Spirit to us. So it means that we do not just accept anything being preached or taught by anybody, but we subject it to the strict proof of correct interpretation of the Scriptures, which we know for ourselves. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 17, verse 11 to 12. We read this earlier on, talking about the people of Berea. It says, the people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica, and they listened eagerly to Paul's message. So you can see that they listened though. They didn't reject it outrightly. They listened eagerly. But that's not where it ended. The Bible says they searched the Scriptures day after day to see if Paul and Silas were teaching the truth. Accept it. And say that they didn't just do that. They didn't just accept it. Oh, that it is this famous, powerful man of God. He's come to town and he's saying these things, or he's preaching these things. So let me just accept it. That's not what they did. After listening to them, they went back and started searching the Scriptures. And in their time, the Scriptures that they had were the Old Testament, or the Torah, and the Psalms, and the Prophets. So the Torah is the first five books of Moses. Then we have the Psalms. Then the Prophets. Just like Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, all those. They had those. So that was what their Bible was. So when they came into the meeting that Paul and Silas were ministering at, they listened to them carefully. They listened to them eagerly. But they didn't just end there. They didn't just accept what they were saying because of the reputation they had. But rather, they got back and set the Scriptures day by day for themselves to know whether what these guys were saying were actually true. Leave him. Let him be happy in the house of God. PK. So he's preaching the word of God with me. Hallelujah. Number three, what does it really mean to know the word of God for yourself? Pakwe, see, daddy is calling you. Daddy is calling you. He has toffee for you. Pakwe, see, ordende. Pakwe, see, ordende. Okay. What does it really mean to know the word of God for yourself? Number three, it means, when we say you know the word of God for yourself, one of the things it means is that you have, or we have, a direct access to God through personal study of His word without falling on any intermediaries. It means that we have a direct access to God. It means that we have a direct access to God through personal study of His word. It means that we have a direct access to God through personal study of His word without falling on any intermediaries. That's what it means to know the word of God for yourself. I say it again. It means that we have a direct access to God through personal study of his word without falling on any intermediaries. That is what it really means to know the word of God for yourself. So you have direct access to God. And you have what it takes to study the word of God for yourself. And you really do not need an intermediary, somebody to step in. Again, I'm saying to you that, you see, these things that I'm saying, I am not in essence saying that pastors and teachers and ministers of the gospel are not needed. You see, what they are supposed to do is to augment, to build up on what you already know. That's what it is. There is a drug called augmenting. Okay? Now, this augmenting is a higher version, if you like, of another drug called amoxicillin. So what happens is that if you are dealing with a certain kind of infection at a certain level, it's just the amoxicillin that you need. They'll let you take it 3 times a day for 5 days. But then if they realize that what they are dealing with is an enhanced kind of infection, then they may move from the amoxicillin and give you augmenting. Because they want to augment what the normal amoxicillin would do for you. So it's a kind of amoxicillin, but it just augments the treatment. Charlie, this thing that I'm saying, I didn't go to pharmacy school. Okay? You are the one who went to pharmacy school. So later on, you can see it to see what I'm saying is true or not. Or I'm just making something up. I'm just trying to explain to you that what pastors and ministers of the gospel, what they do, really what they are supposed to do for you must be to augment what you already know. They may help you in the process of knowing certain things, but don't ever put away that personal study and interaction of the word of God for yourself. Don't put that thing away. Don't put it away. And the problem that we are having is that we are made to believe that you need somebody, you need an intermediary. There's actually only one intermediary that we need, Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 to 6. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 to 6. It says, "For there is one God and one mediator or intermediary who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. This is the message God gave to the world at just the right time." But the first part is what we are interested in. There is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity. Who is this person? Christ Jesus. He is our intermediary. Nobody else should take his place. And nobody else should force us to believe that without them we cannot find God. What sacrilege! That without them, we cannot know God. Without them, we cannot find God for ourselves. That's false. So when we know the word of God for ourselves, it means that we, it means you, it means I, have a direct access to God. How? Through personal study of his word. Personally studying his word. Without having to fall on any intermediaries. They can help you. They can help you. But you should never get to the point where it is like, you know, without them,
You can't know God.
Number four, we are ending. What does it mean to really know God for ourselves? It means that we are growing and maturing in the Lord. That's what it means. If we get to know God for ourselves, if we begin to know God for ourselves, what it means is that we are growing and we are maturing in the Lord. We are doing what? We are growing and maturing in the Lord. And that's what God is expecting of us. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 to 14. Hebrews 5, 12 to 14. You have been believers so long now. That you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. And this is the place that God wants all of us to come to. He wants us to grow. He wants us to mature. He wants us to develop in our knowledge and understanding of the word of God. He wants us to get to a place where we are able to teach others and impart them. He wants us to get to that place. He wants us to know him for ourselves. And when we say that we know the word of God for ourselves, it means that we are growing and we are maturing in the Lord. That's what it really means. And finally, it means that we can tell when whatever is being taught or preached is not sound doctrine. When we say that you know the word of God for yourself, it means that you can tell whenever something that is being taught or preached is not sound doctrine. Because we are able to do critical thinking and analysis. It means that we can tell whatever is being taught or preached is not sound doctrine because we are able to do critical thinking and analysis. What does it really mean to know God's word for ourselves? It means that we can tell when whatever is being taught or preached is not sound doctrine because we are able to do critical thinking and analysis for ourselves. That's what it really means when we say that you know the word of God for yourself. You can tell. You can tell a lot of things because you are able to analyze. You are able to do critical thinking. There are some ministers of the gospel, they do not want their members to do critical thinking. They want their members to swallow everything that they say without questioning anything, without analyzing anything, without assessing anything. It is wrong. It is wrong. And when you know the word of God for yourself, you can tell when whatever is being taught or preached is not sound doctrine. And you are able to tell because you are doing critical thinking and analysis. There's a reason why God gave you a brain. There's a reason why he gave it to you. He's expecting you to think. To think. And your brain must be used. There's a difference between your brain and that of a chicken. Look at the size of the chicken's head. And look at the brain in it. Do we eat chicken brain? There are some people who eat chicken head. Do you know that? It's very nice. You've eaten some before. Want to know? Master, your wife. You have to examine her closely. What is the use of having a brain that you are not
using. And God gave us that brain so that we can think, we can analyze, we can do critical assessment of things. And I'm telling you, there are some places they don't want us to think. They don't want us to analyze. It's about my pastor said, my prophet said, my bishop said, my man of God said, my papa said. That's all you hear. And when you operate in that way, it's almost like you've become an idiot, an unintelligent person. And what did the Bible say? For we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. So he's given us that ability to analyze and to do critical thinking. And when we know the word of God for ourselves, we can always tell when whatever is being taught or preached is not sound doctrine, because we are able to do critical thinking and analysis. The last scripture, Titus chapter 1, verse 9 to 11. I am done. From the Good News Bible, Titus 1, 9 to 11. Titus chapter 1, verse 9 to 11. From the Good News Bible. Now, Paul was given an instruction about what leaders in the church must do, but it applies to all of us. It says he must hold firmly to the message which can be trusted and which agrees with the doctrine, sound doctrine. In this way, he'll be able to encourage others with the true teaching and also to show the error of those who are opposed to it. That is, who are opposed to true teaching. He says, for there are many, especially the converts from Judaism, who rebel and deceive others with their nonsense. It is necessary to stop their talk because they are upsetting whole families by teaching what they should not, and all for the shameful purpose of making money. But if you look at the first part, it says he must hold firmly to the message which can be trusted and which agrees with the doctrine. So it means that you should be able to tell whether what is being taught or preached is correct, whether it is sound, whether it is in line with the true word of God. And the only way you can do that is by critical thinking and analysis. And when you know the word of God for yourself, it empowers you to be able to do that critical thinking and analysis. Hallelujah. So today we've just focused on primarily on what it really means to know the word of God for yourself. I'm your pastor. I have a role to play in your life. It is God who placed me here, I believe. But you are expected to know the word of God for yourself. And I've run you through what it really means to know God's word for yourself. Next week, Wednesday, by the grace of God, we will move into another dimension of this very important subject. God bless you. Rise to your feet and let us pray and close. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father, for today. We thank you for your word that has come forth. We thank you for what you are leading us into, to know your word for ourselves. There are a lot of things that are not going well in the body of Christ today. But we must escape those things. And our sure bet is to get to that place where we know your word for ourselves. A lot of things have been said today. I pray that as your people go, you give them more revelation and more understanding of what they have heard and received. Stir up in each one of us here that belief and that confidence that we can know you for ourselves and we can know your word for ourselves. Just pray for yourself right now. Pray, commit yourself before God and ask him to help you to do that in the name of Jesus. Speak to the Lord. Speak to the Lord for a minute or two. Tell him, Father, I thank you for your word today. I know that you're speaking to me. You want to say, Father, please forgive me for having been a lazy child of yours, for having not pressed on to know you more and to know your word better. But today we pray, O God, that you would help us to do just that. Touch our lives, O God. Let your spirit help us and bring us to that place where we will know your word for ourselves. We give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name, and let the people of God say, Amen. Give
thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.